Welcome to Tanya Definitions. We are up to, we're still in Aleph. And it's interesting because they started Rav Yoel Kahn's Tzal before he died, was told by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, before the Lubavitcher Rebbe died, that he had to create a kind of encyclopedia of Hasidus. So he started, it was called the, what do they call it? I forgot what they called it. But anyway, I think when he died, they were only up to Aleph, and it was like nine volumes in. And I was like, wow. But then I realized when I started doing my own little one, Havdil, I started doing my own little one, like everything is Aleph, everything. Like Ivrit Demalka, Avos Hashem, yeah, Achdusai, you know, Achdus Hashem, and then Elohim Acherim, Acharayim. And like, there's so much stuff. We've just done it kind of quickly, you know. You could spend hours and hours on each of these topics. So I understand. I think Aleph is the is Hashem's favorite letter for stuff in Tanya, just you know, general inyanim of Torah. Okay, so we're up to Ish Yisrael. So under Ish Yisrael, I've put in the three. What's it called? The three types of Jews: Tzaddik, Beinoni, and Rasha, which is not to how to say it, the Rosh HaTavos of Tzibor. Yeah, Tzaddik, Beinoni, Rasha, because the Tzibor is made up of Tzaddikim, Beinonim, and Rasha. And Ish Yisrael, a Jew, is a human being with a neshama, as we've said over and over and over again. The humanity of the Ish Yisrael, the mortal part of the Jew, is from Klipas Noiga, which means the human element of Jew has the ability to appreciate another human being. That's the difference between Yisrael and the Umos Olam. Although there are Umos Olam who do have the same ability, for sure, especially in this generation. But the basic way that we break it down and that we've always understood is that the human element of the Umos Olam cannot naturally appreciate the reality of another human being, but they can teach themselves and they can educate themselves, and that's what it's called being a human. The difference between a human being and an animal is that both of them could be trained. An animal could be trained, just like a human being could be trained, but only the human being could take responsibility for the training. That is a very important point. They can both be trained, but the animal can't decide that it's going to train itself. Whereas the human being can actually take responsibility for the training. That's what we would call, I suppose, in this generation, you know, growth, character development, or self-growth, or self-help, whatever you call it, yeah, is taking responsibility for training your humanity to become more geschmack, more selfless, more put together, more effective, kinder, more efficient, etc. So the Jew is the human being whose humanity is already quite refined, meaning that min hastam, the Jew is a good guy, unless he falls into klipa, unless he, just like you could train yourself to go higher, a person could be not trained to go low. What would be the word? Could be not trained. He could fall lower by becoming accustomed to bad behavior, whatever it is, that he could fall down into a lower place. But the humanity of the Jew is already quite elevated and appreciates the reality of another human being. The Jewishness of the Jew, the Nefesh L'Kis, is not of creation. The Nefesh of Bahamas doesn't have free will. The Nefesh of Bahamas has a cheshbon. It can make a cheshbon. Your Nefesh of Bahamas can decide what car to buy. And I'm not just talking it wants like the fastest car or the fanciest car. It could make a very intelligent decision. And part of the cheshbon might be that your neighbors are going to be are going to feel bad that you just bought yourself a new Aston Martin. That's not coming from the Nefesh and the Kis. That's still coming from the Nefesh and Bahamas. Nefesh and Bahamas makes cheshbonis. That's not free will. It's not free will making a cheshbon. The free will is born of the interaction between the Nefesh and Bahamas and the Nefesh and the Kis. That's free will. Whenever you're making a cheshbon, whenever you're using your mind to decide something, that is being that decision is being, if you're a normal, if you're a regular Jew, that decision is being made within the Nefesh of Bahamas. Okay? So free will is a different thing. We'll get there when we get to Bechira Bezrat Hashem. Okay, so we've got three types of Jews, but really, in truth, we have one type of Jew. There's only one type of Jew. We're all tzaddikim, or we should all be tzaddikim. See, the chiddush is when you say to somebody, you talk about, behavioral perfection or just being, unbelievably, put together and a great guy, people are like, wow, that's amazing. Or the idea of never doing anything wrong, people are like, I can't imagine such a thing. That's such an anomaly. That's such an anomaly. Where in truth, it's actually the opposite way around. Why would you think that any of Hashem's creations wouldn't be perfect? What's the havamina to think that a human being wouldn't be a tzaddik? Why would you assume that he would be doing stuff wrong? He's made in the image of God. He's made by God, so he should be a tzaddik. So first things first is we have to remember the fact that we're not tzaddikim is the chiddush, which makes a big difference because when you're trying to, it's like how many times have you heard of very wealthy people who like went broke, who then climbed back up? They were a year or two later they were back to where they were. It happens a lot. Happens a lot. It's much easier to get back to where you were than to get to a place where you've never been. So that's an important thing to remember, that our natural default, the natural state of a human being, which was Adam and Rishon before the Chait, who was our, that is the most natural state of a human, is a tzaddik gamur. So just remember that, keep that in mind, that everything other than a tzaddik is the chiddush. Now, once we open up the category, okay, we now have really, in truth, a tzaddik and a rasha. So we can boil everything down to one category, that's tzaddik. Yeah? Kulam tzaddikim. I'm Yisrael, kulam tzaddikim. So that's what. Now, if you're going to break us down into two categories, you'll have tzaddikim and rishoyim. Okay? Now, a beinoni is a rasha who acts like a tzaddik. That's the definition of beinoni is he is a rasha, meaning he has the same inner mechanics of the rasha, but he doesn't do anything about it. That's a beinoni. He can appreciate the pleasure within doing something wrong. He might even quite like to do that, but he would never dream of doing it. Whereas the rasha can see the pleasure of doing something wrong, he might even quite like to do it, and occasionally he will do it. That's the difference. So the beinoni is really, he's really, like we said, to call him his own category, you can, but in truth, he's got the inner workings of the tzad, of the rasha, but the outer behavior of the tzaddik. So right now we're defining the person as the person himself. And then his behavior. And that is, I mean, we've said this, hundreds of times over the past couple of years, is how important is it to be able to separate yourself from the behavior? I can't think of anything more important, especially the thinking, to know that you are thinking, not that you are thinking. You are the one who thinks, you are not the thinking. And people, that's something that's really, I mean, that should be taught in schools. That should be the first thing that's taught in schools. I'll tell you, if I got in control of stuff, the first thing I would do is completely just trash the entire school system and rebuild it again from scratch. Like, I don't understand like what they're doing. Like, why hasn't anyone hucked that if you just teach everyone in the country to be a mensch, your country will just go like that. I think one of the problems is that a president can't be in power for more than like 8 years. Isn't that the maximum? It's like, how much can you really do like long term in 8 years? You can, for sure, but when you need to be thinking 20, 30 years into the future, and start redo the entire school system and have the first thing on the schedule is how to be a mensch, how to care about other people. What, like, why isn't that? And then the whole country would just, you'd see the prison systems would just get smaller and smaller and smaller. The GDP would go up because everyone's being productive. And like, it's just, in my mind, it's just a no-brainer. Anyway, so the first thing that I would teach, one of the first things I would teach is that you are not your thinking. And that means that you can, even though you're having these negative thoughts, you can actually change your mind. Now, if you are the thinking, then there's nothing doing. But if you are the one that thinks, excuse me, then you can just start thinking about something else. So we've got the two aspects of the person. We've got the actual person, and then we've got the behavior of the person. So the tzaddik, he is completely aligned with the Rabbeinu Sholem as a person. And therefore, for sure, his behavior is aligned with the Rabbeinu Sholem. Now, Rasha is not aligned with the Rabbeinu Sholem. He's aligned with himself. And his behavior is also not always aligned with the Rabbeinu Sholem. His behavior is also sometimes aligned with himself. The Beinoni, as a person, is Kulu aligned with the Rabbeinu Sholem? So is not aligned, he's aligned with himself, but his behavior is aligned with the Rabbeinu Sholem. So these are the three categories of human being, of Jew. We've got the person who is aligned, who behaves correctly, that's the tzaddik. We've got the person who isn't aligned, who doesn't behave correctly, that's the rasha. Then we've got the person who isn't aligned, who behaves correctly, who is us. That's us. We're the Beinoni. Yeah, we behave correctly, but we're not aligned. And if we don't behave correctly, that's because something weird happened.
Is it possible to have someone who is not aligned but always behaves correctly and be a Beinoni, or is that a Tzaddik?
No, that's a Beinoni. We said he's not aligned.
But he always acts correctly.
That's the definition of a Beinoni. A
I thought
Rasha.
he usually acts correctly.
Yeah, no, because I. But that's not really the right way of saying it. The way the Tanya says it is he always corrects, acts correctly, meaning he never did an Aveira. This is what the Tanya says. He never did an Aveira, and he will never do an Aveira. How can you say such a thing?
Right.
How can you say such a thing? The Tanya says it a couple of times. So what does that mean? The point of the Tanya is, again, we've said it so many times. We're not describing people; we're describing internal experiences. Yeah. Imagine a question. Well, I was on the plane once. I think I was coming back from Toronto, and the chevra on the plane, they were eating meat and milk. I saw their mamas. It was like a chicken with some kind of milky sauce, and their mamas loving it. It looked very delicious as well. And I'm sitting there thinking, I had already finished because when you eat kosher, you get food before everyone. Yeah. So I'd finished. I was just watching these people and I was just thinking, this was when Bill Gates was rich. Yeah. Back in the old days. So I was just thinking, if Bill Gates was to offer me his entire fortune to just take one lick of that food that all these people are mummish, you can see they're really enjoying. I wouldn't do it. No question. No way. Absolutely not. Amazing. That's an amazing thought. And you also wouldn't. You also wouldn't. Yeah. Bill Gates's entire fortune just to take a taste of that bus of a cholov? No, we'll do it. So what you're what that that's see, you are a Benoidi. You don't want to do an Aveira. You can't do an Aveira. That's who we are, Minastan. Okay, every now and again we stumble, yeah, because of funny stuff that happens, but that's very much out of character. That's not who we are. We're not being true to ourselves. So again, that sounds like the Russia according to the Tanya, but it's not. We're really Beinoidim because we want to serve Hashem. We don't want to do Aveiras. And the idea of doing Aveiras makes us feel sick. Do we ever do Aveiras? There could be times when stuff happens, but that's not who we are. We are a person who doesn't do Aveiras. We never did one. We never will do one. Yeah, that's who the Beinoidi is. And that's who we are on a conceptual level. Okay, so now. So we've divided Klal Yisrael into three. We've got Tzaddikim, Beinonim, and Rishayim. That's Loshen Tzibur. Yeah, Tzaddik Beis Reish. But now we break up the Tzaddik into the Tzaddik Gamor and the Tzaddik She'ena Gamor, the complete Tzaddik and the incomplete Tzaddik. We break the Beinoni, the Rasha into the Rasha Gamor and the Rasha She'ena Gamor. The complete Russia and the Russia is not complete. And then we have the Beinoni, who we also actually break into two parts. It's not as famous as those other breaks, but we also break the Beinoni into two parts, who is the Beinoni who serves and the Beinoni who doesn't serve. Okay, so we'll discuss the Beinoni last. So to discuss the two types of tzaddikim, is quite an involved it's quite involved but we'll try and say it quickly. We should be familiar with the ideas. Is that before we broke the mensch down into two parts. You've got the mensch and you've got the behavior. Okay, now we know for the tzaddik for sure the behavior is perfect because the behavior by the Beinoni is also perfect. So for sure, the behavior of the Tzaddik is perfect. Yeah. What about? So we have to discuss now to create a chiluk in the Tzaddik to create a distinction within the Tzaddikim. Is it has to be something to do with the person himself? I'm not going to get too deep into this because it's a whole thing, but basically what we're going to do. Is we're going to break the human down into pleasure and emotions. Pleasure is the very source, the very essence of who you are. And the emotions are you have emotions. You can't say you have pleasure. Well, you can say that, but that's not what we're saying. You can't, in our context, you can't say that you have pleasure. You are pleasure. But you can say that you have emotions. You're not your emotions, but you have emotions. And that's an important thing, just the idea of having emotions as well is remembering that, everyone's had that feeling where they, something happened and they ended up feeling so hateful towards their wife or their children or whatever. And then see, in the secular world, when marriage is about love, well, if you don't love your wife, well, then you should get divorced. They say that all the time. We fell out of love, so we get divorced. That's absolutely anti-Torah. Torah is you're married. Why? Because you're married. Yeah, now it makes sense to love her. So work that out. But you're not your love. Where a person is their love, and the marriage is the love, then if he falls out of love, then well, that's it. Whereas you realize your emotions are within your control. You can act in a loving way, which will build love for your wife. In fact, usually you'll find that when you're feeling negative towards your wife, it's because you're being lazy. That's usually how it works out, is the reason why you're feeling negative towards your wife is because you're not treating her properly, which is ironic, but that's how it works. If you're not giving to her, it's because we think as secular, the secular mindset is, well, if she's not doing her part, then I don't love her. That's not how it is. It's if you're not doing your part, you don't love her. That's how it works. If you're feeling negative to your wife, yeah, go and do something for her. And you'll see in most cases that negativity will dissipate. Yeah, go and do the washing up, take out the trash, take her out for a meal, buy her something, whatever. And you'll see almost immediately that negativity will at least soften dramatically. And in most case scenarios, it will actually dissipate the gum ray. So you're not your emotions, you have emotions. So this is the difference between the complete tzaddik and the incomplete tzaddik. Is in both cases, their emotions are completely aligned with God. But in the complete tzaddik, his pleasure, or you could say the essence of, pardon me, the essence of who he is aligned with God. Whereas in the incomplete tzaddik, the essence of who he is not aligned fully with God. So what's the difference between what's the practical difference between these two tzaddikim? I don't know. I don't know if you would see a practical difference, but the not conceptual, yeah, I suppose the conceptual difference, the actual difference between them is that Tzaddik Gamor is not really a human being anymore. And the Tzaddik She'einu Gamor is a human being, the most elevated level of human being. So the actual difference, even though I don't know if you would ever see a difference in them lemaisa, the actual difference, the difference between a tzaddik gamor and a tzaddik she'einu gamor is infinitely greater than the difference between a tzaddik she'einu gamor and a rasha gamor. A rasha gamor is a human being, the lowest human being, and the tzaddik she'einu gamor is the highest human being. But a tzaddik gamor, he is already a godly being. He's not really a human being anymore. You can't really call him a human being. He might look like a human being. So it's funny, you don't see a difference, but the difference is literally infinite. Literally infinite. Literally infinite. So those are the two levels of tzaddik. If you didn't, there's really a lot more to say on that, and you could look into the Tanya Inside Out Shiur on chapters 10 and 11. It's a two-part thing, and that will give a bit more detail into that and give you a graph as well that helps you a little bit. But so the difference between the Tzaddik Gamor, who is also called the Tzaddik V'Tovloi, the Tzaddik who has good, is that he the essence of his animal soul has actually become godly. His pleasure has actually been completely transformed into godly pleasure, and that means that he's just got two godly souls. That's it. So he's not really human anymore. The Tzaddik She'einu Gamor, he's a human being, a very elevated human being who's completely in line with God, meaning he is in line with God. He's not godly. That's the difference. The Tzaddik Gamor is godly. The Tzaddik She'einu Gamor is in line with God. That's a nice way of saying it. Okay, then you've got the two Rishoyim. Yeah, you've got the Rasha Gamor, the Rasha She'einu Gamor. Now, when people learn Tanya, everyone wants to fit themselves into one category. And you, as a regular person, although I know that I just said that we are Beinonim, as a regular Jew, you would think, according to how the Tanya is written, that we fall into the category of a Rasha V'Tovloi, okay, an incomplete Rasha. Okay, that means that Incomplete Russia is basically a human being, a Jew, who can do an aveira, whether it's in thought or speech or action, and it could be, months and months apart, but it's a possibility that he could do an aveira. And that's, I suppose, if you want to learn Tanya like a child, you would think that's how you would, if you were understanding Tanya as, if you're understanding the breakdown of these people as people and not personalities, not internal experiences, then we would all fall into that category. Okay. But we're learning it in a more sophisticated way, B'zrat Hashem. So that's the Russia Vatovloi, the Russia She'eina Gamur, who isn't complete, means that he is not aligned with Hashem internally, and externally he will do an aveira. But the minute he does an aveira, because his godly soul is very much intact, he will feel regret and he will do tshuva. The Russia She'eina Gamur, the Russia She'eina Gamur, the Russia Vatovloi is constantly doing tshuva on everything that he does wrong. He feels guilty. He feels bad that he's being naughty. That's how he feels. The Russia Gabor doesn't feel that. That's the difference. It could actually be that the behavior of the Russia She'eina Gabor is much worse than the behavior of the Russia Gabor. It could be like that. It could be. But the Russia Gabor does not have any charata. The Russia Gabor, it's like his neshama has kind of left him. It hasn't mamash left him, but it's gone to a bechina of what's called makif. It's not inside him anymore, it's around him. It doesn't have any voice anymore. Okay? So the concept of the Russia, it's not to do with how many aveiras the person does. And it's not even to do with how big the aveiras are. It's to do with how distant is the voice of the neshama. Otherwise, it's logistical. Yeah, Mike, are you going to say something? No? You hear that? The Tanya constantly takes us inside. He's constantly saying to us, Chevre, the behavior part of things, it's absolutely ikka, and at the same time it's irrelevant. That's what the Tanya is saying to us the whole time, meaning you have to behave absolutely properly, but don't think that tells us about who you really are. Your behavior is your behavior, and then there's you. The Tanya wants to get to the you. The Tanya just takes the good behavior for granted. It's like, why aren't you behaving properly? Get hold of yourself. What are you? Like, but think about how you feel towards your kids when they do stupid things. You're like, get a hold of yourself. Or when your wife goes and spends a bunch of money that she shouldn't have spent. You're like, pull yourself together. What are you doing? Yeah? That's how the Tanya talks to us. It's like, why are you doing anything wrong? Pull yourself together. Look, you don't have rahmanas on your wife when she, I was just talking to a guy just today. Told his wife not to do something, and she mumish went and did exactly that. Yeah, and he's like broken. He's like really angry. And I didn't say this to him, but I'm just like, she's dealing with a tither. That was a tither that she, you told her not to do it. So what? You could tell me 100 times not to eat that packet of potato chips before I go to bed. I'm still gonna go and eat it. Yeah. It's like just like that's what happened with your wife when she went and spent that extra couple of $1,000 that she shouldn't have spent. Yeah, same thing. You and the potato chips, just the potato chips are a bit cheaper. But you and the potato chips before you go to bed, and whatever the Louis Vuitton handbag that she brought. Yeah, same thing. But you don't have rahmanas on her. You're like, why did you do that? Pull yourself together. That's how the Tanya is talking to us. He's like, why are you doing anything wrong? You know you don't want to do it, so just stop doing it. And it's a good point. It's a good point. We should just stop doing it. And you can, with a little bit of practice and a little bit of determination, you can just stop doing it. So the Tanya's like, this is no biggie. You know, behavioral perfection, including thinking, is like, he doesn't even give you a pat on the back. He's like, he says, yes, he says, anybody with a brain in their skull, that was the notion he uses. If you've got a brain in your skull, then you should be behaving like a mensch. Now let's start the real work. The real work is transforming yourself to become a godly human being. Now that you get a pat on the back for. When your emotions become aligned with the Rabbeinu Shloim, you start loving what he loves, you start hating what he hates. Now that's an accomplishment. That's how the Tanya approaches it. So Mitzvah Echad behavior is absolutely the most important thing. Mitzvah Sheni, I mean, it's just behavior. Let's get to work on the real stuff. Yeah, let's fix ourselves. Yeah. So we've got these four levels. We've got the Tzaddik Gamor, Tzaddik Sheina Gamor. We've got the Rasha Gamor, Rasha Sheina Gamor. Now we've got the two levels of Beinoni. Okay. We've got the Beinoni who serves God, and we've got the Beinoni who doesn't serve God. What's the difference? Like we said, the Beinoni is divided internally. He has selfish drives, and he has selfless drives. He has a desire to serve God, and he has a desire to serve himself. The one who serves is the one who has to fight to not give in to his lower, to not give in to his base desires. He has a tiver to look at bad stuff on the internet. He has a tiver to say bad stuff to his wife. He has a tiver to overeat or to eat something that isn't particularly kosher, etc. Yeah? He has a tiver, it's a real thing, and he doesn't do it. He stands strong and uses whatever tools are available to him, and he fights. He's involved in a milchama. He's involved in an actual, in a bitter war, mamash. Yeah? That is the Beinoni who serves God. Now you've got another Beinoni who's not aligned with God particularly. He's still kind of selfish, but he's like one of these guys who just, you know, he's like a bookish person by nature. He's a studier. He's not, you know, he's a very dispassionate person. He doesn't have tavas nashim. He's just like a wet, kind of frigid kind of guy, yeah. He's not a passionate, what's the word? He's not an aggressive. He's just not. He's there's no aggressiveness in him, bichlal, yeah. So he's kind of like aligned with God, but not because he's become godly. He's very much a normal human being. He just doesn't have any interest in things that God doesn't like. He got, you know, he had a lovely upbringing. You know, he's in good schools, went to Ivy League, you know, college, and yeah, before all the craziness kicked off. And he's come out, you know, he's got a decent job. He's not having to hang around horrible people. And you know, he's got no time to watch anything violent or, you know, or sexual online. And he's the guy that I describe, and everybody who I've ever described this to is like, you know, that's not me. So, but apparently that exists, yeah? That there's a guy who is in line with God, but not because he's become godly, just because that's his humanity. So he's called the Beinoni who doesn't serve. And that is the six Madregas of a Jew. The six Madregas of the Jew is we've got the Tzaddik Gamor, who he himself is godly. Then we've got the Tzaddik She'eino Gamor, who he himself isn't godly, he's still human, but his emotions are godly. Yeah? That's an amazing Madrega. That's what we're trying to become. That's the work we're trying to do, yeah? Then you've got the Beinoni, who he isn't godly, even his emotions aren't godly, but his behavior's godly. And he divides into two people, like we said, the one who's fighting, the one who's just naturally like that. And then we have the Tzaddik She'eino Gaur, who he is human, his emotions are human, and his behavior is also human. And then we've got the Tzaddik Gabor, who is all of that as well. He's human, his emotions are human, his behavior is human, and he doesn't care. That was a good chazara for that's a lot of Prakim of Tanya. So that is Ish Yisrael. That was the Aleph of Ish Yisrael. We went through a bunch of stuff there. And next week, Bezrat Hashem. Oh, next week there's no shir. I have a chasna next week. So next week there's no Tanya definitions Wednesday. But then we start talking about Emunah. We'll talk about Emunah from the perspective of the Tanya, which is quite different to anything that I know otherwise. Okay, Chevre, shkoyach.
Wow.